not stepping me awkward. I box left me an orphan. My pops left me an orphan. My mama wasn't home. Do not step in me awkward. I box left me an orphan. My pops left me an orphan. My mama wasn't home. Do not step in me awkward. I box left me an orphan. My pops left me an orphan. My mama wasn't home.
What? Yeah, mama wasn't home, but he complete had to just stand on his own.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. This is March Madness, and it's a fabulous Friday because it's the Friday before Selection Sunday. So we're going to get you ready for the NCAA pool and March Madness. We're going to get you ready for football, free agency, baseball, the World Baseball Classic. Oof, we got so much going on. Anyway,
let's get to it.
It's on. So you're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray. That's Tall Rayside.
And I am Tay, hyped up, Eric Taylor. I wish I was going to Minnesota with Greg Jennings because, yo, they're giving out some money. Today, we got a great show. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Hit us up on the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Email, rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Shout out to all the ACC and Big East fans listening to us, people hitting us up on Twitter. You can tweet at Ray and Tay Today. Follow us, RAEANDTAY Today at Twitter, and also like us on Facebook. And we got a busy show, man, mainly NFL and college hoops. But, Ray, tell them how it's going down, man.
Well, let's do it. Just like Nike said, you know, let's do it. So we'll go through quickly what's going on in breaking news. We'll talk a little bit about this WBC, the World Baseball Classic. We'll transition pretty fast into the NBA. Then we'll get into NFL free agency. What a crazy 3-4 days it's been since free agency has started.
Day four.
We'll get into it. And we'll end the show, the last half of the show, we'll be talking NCAA March Madness. Like we said, it's Friday. Selection Sunday's 2 days away. Folks are jockeying for those top four seeds. Folks are jockeying to be in the tournament. There's a lot of teams out there that could be 3, 4, 5 seeds. There are teams that could be 8, 9, 10 seeds. So these conference tournaments are on. Oh, we're hyped. So let's get into it. Let's get the breaking news out of the way.
Well, I got to say, I want to see USA in this World Baseball Classic. They lost to Dominican 3-1 the other night. I want to see them beat Puerto Rico and make it to play the rematch against Dominican in San Francisco. San Francisco is where they have the which is a weird place because they're playing in Scottsdale and in Miami. But then they go to San Francisco for the Final Four, I guess.
Well, so the Giants are the defending champs. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
they probably didn't know that when they scheduled this, but still.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just don't know why it's there, but should be interesting. Hopefully, you know, they can get it going, and USA, they're playing Puerto Rico, and hopefully they can win.
Right, it's top of the fourth right now. They're going into the fourth, and Puerto Rico's up 1-0.
Okay, that's what I like to hear. And got a couple more moves in baseball. I see that the Yankees agreed to a deal with Bosch.
Brendan Bosch.
Yeah, Brendan Bosch. That's interesting. And then Derek Lee. You hear about your guy, Derek Lee. He decided to decline the Yankees' offer. So I thought that was interesting because the Yankees wanted to get – some insurance with that bat, you know, with all these injuries and stuff. So Derek Lee would have been a good fit for that. And so we'll see. Now, what's up with Kobe? Did you hear tonight? Is Kobe going to play against the Pacers?
I think he's playing. So Kobe said he's, you know, they said he's a game time decision, but Kobe's saying he's playing. He's playing tonight against the Pacers. So he turns his ankle. I mean, This is why you cannot like Kobe for a lot of reasons. You know, his attitude is smug. He's not the nicest guy in the world. But if he's on your team, Kobe is a hero to most, because this guy comes out and plays ball. He is – they said he could be out indefinitely. And he's playing. He's playing the next game against the Pacers.
Well, they said in his 17-year career was the worst worst twist of his ankle, sprained ankle he's ever had.
Right.
And, I mean, you know, the poor Dante Jones, he's all over the place, right? Look, I didn't do it on purpose. I'm just playing aggressive defense. Get off my back. I'm like, I feel you, homie. You know, it's like, right. God, you know. That's a hard thing. And, by the way, just a little quick news, because we'll get into NBA in a minute. Kenyon Martin was signed the rest of the season with the Knicks. So, you know, we bounce around with that.
Special K, welcome to the squad.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, let's just take it from there into basketball, because right now, the way, you know, Carmelo, he got his knee drained back in New York, and they're saying he's probably going to miss, he missed the Portland game, and he might make it back for the Clipper game, if not Monday against the Jazz, and then they come back to New York. You know, to go 0-5 on this trip would be really bad. They played well last night against Portland. You know, talk about the TNT doubleheader. But they just couldn't pull it out, because my man, Rookie of the Year, Damian Lillard, was just too much for them, 26-10. And, you know, you feel bad. J.R. Smith played well, and you saw the veterans hanging in there. But the Knicks, man, they're only two games up right now on the Brooklyn Nets. And they're number three in the East, you know, a game or so behind the Pacers. So, you know, this is a rough little period. Hopefully Melo can, you know, get back, and Kenyon Martin's okay. He got a little banged up last night. And then Chandler, I haven't seen a report on how long Chandler will be out, but you got to be concerned. What do you think about all this, Ray?
I think the Knicks are in trouble. I think the Knicks right now have kind of hit rock bottom at the worst time. You know, going into the last month of the season, where you want to set yourself up for positive playoff momentum, they're saying that Carmelo's knee might be worse than, you know, we know, but let's assume it's not.
No structural damage, though, you know, so that's a good thing.
Right. So he's got to pull that knee together. And then I think we're seeing the Knicks fall apart a little bit on everything that was going right in the first half of the season, and the defense and threes and all of the, you know, things that were falling into place. A lot of people said, look, we don't know if it's sustainable. It's an older team. They're not a great shooting team, and yet they were hitting, you know, an unbelievable percentage from three. So Mike Woodson's got a couple of pieces back, and he lost a couple of pieces. So, again, stress on him to get the rotation right. And if you think
about
it.
My man Copeland, right? Yeah, we got to get at Ian Begley, man. Shout out to Ian Begley, who was on our show last Friday from ESPN New York, because my man Copeland's been scoring and playing some good ball, man.
He did. He is. And so good for him. But the Knicks, listen to this, though. I mean, the Knicks ultimately, look, if they're in third place, if it were to end today, they play Boston. And then if they go to 4-5, it's probably Chicago that they'd play. So either way, that's a difficult
without Rose
matchup.
They can beat Chicago, I think. Even though they don't play good against them because of the size, I think they can beat them if Amari makes it back.
Well, they can, but it'll be a struggle, first of all. And then second of all, then in the next round you get Miami. So you want to get out of that. You want to stay out of that 4-5 spot, whatever happens. So even Boston's a tough matchup for the Knicks. But we'll see. The good thing for the Knicks, though, is that they're in the third spot. They still have two games over Brooklyn, so they just have to hold on to that, that Eastern Division lead that they've got, that Atlantic Division lead, sorry. But I'm worried. I'm worried as a Knicks fan, frankly. I'm worried. I feel like Father Time is catching up to all the older people, and then if Carmelo's not at 100%, this team is built around him. So we already saw kind of the ups and downs of going with J.R. Smith and then Amari with his health. You know, you never know what you're going to get out of him, so you almost have to bank on him not being much of a, you know, much of a factor. So I'm worried. I'm worried as a Knicks fan, potentially a first-round loss.
I think they'll make it through, and I think that they can get past the first round. I think if they're healthy, they'll beat the Pacers in seven games. Let me ask you this. Obviously, the Heat, I think they're going for 21 tonight. What are you thinking about the Heat, man? This is an impressive, very impressive run. Obviously, they're getting played out and everything on ESPN, but I think the Heat I don't even worry about them peaking too soon because I think this team can actually just continue to get better. You just got to watch out. And actually, this streak is hurting other teams because they're playing so well that LeBron and Wade are getting the rest in the fourth quarter. That's what's so
crazy.
Fascinating. So they're getting a break where other teams are dogging it just to make, you know, spots and positions like the Lakers in the West got the eighth spot and, you know, the Spurs are kind of resting too. But besides the Heat, the Spurs, everybody else is like playing these crazy minutes. What do you think about the Heat in this run and even comparing this run to the Lakers or the Bulls and some of their runs?
So it's the fourth longest streak in NBA history, right? And they're going up, getting closer and closer to number one, which is 33. And I don't know if they'll
hit it. Tonight's Milwaukee.
Because
they could lose to Milwaukee.
They could. And they're in the second game of a five-game road trip. And the difference between the Heat and everybody else is getting bigger and bigger. So on any given night, you know, the Spurs maybe for a game, but I don't know about a seven-game series. And the Oklahoma City Thunder. So I feel like Miami is really putting their foot down and saying, look, we're in sixth gear and everybody else is in fourth gear, fifth gear. So I really like what's happening with them, and they're unselfish. If you look at how they're playing, I mean, Dwayne Wade looks like he's getting healthier and healthier, back to his form of 06, 07, 08, and they find a way to include everybody, right? And no egos on that team. I mean, it's fallen. The pecking order has fallen into place, right? It's LeBron's team. Dwayne Wade is the, you know, I don't want to say the aging star because they came out the same draft class. They're obviously, 3 years apart in age, 3-4 years apart in age. But it's clearly those two, and then Chris Bosh, who's your third option, is still amazing. And they've got Ray Allen as kind of that consistent shooter, and Mario Chalmers, the young guy. Look, they're doing great. We have one weakness as a Miami Heat organization, and we know it, but you can't take advantage of it, right? There are very few teams out there that can take advantage of the fact that they can't really defend the post, and you might be able to pound them on the boards. So that's why.
Well, Chris Anderson, Birdman, helps them too with some size.
A lot. Sure.
Yeah.
Helps them a lot. Helps them a lot. But Bosch, you know, Haslam, Birdman, that's their front line. Traditionally, that's kind of a weak front line. But in this NBA, there aren't that many teams that can take advantage of it. And look, they've got five-game road trip.
If the Lakers could
get
there, or the Spurs.
But if Pau Gasol gets healthy, maybe. But I don't think with just Dwight Howard, they'd let Dwight Howard get his and still do fine. But I don't know that the Lakers can win three series and come out of the West.
So you know what? I just checked this out. Kobe's 0 for 4. They're up 48-40 on the Pacers. But Kobe's in the starting lineup, folks. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about.
And that's why to his defense, Kobe can get on Dwight. And Kobe can get on any team he wants. Because Kobe's strapping it up every game. And he brings his game, whether he's hurt, whether he's sick, whether he had a bad game, whether he had a good game.
No.
He's like the U.S. Post Office, right? He delivers in all weather. So, yeah. Kobe is, you know, he has every right as a teammate and every right as a Laker to demand just as much from anybody else. Now, he gets in trouble a little bit when he demands, you know, a certain level of performance. Look, you're not as talented as Kobe. You're just not as talented. That's just – you know, there's no – very few people on this earth have ever been as talented as Kobe. But in terms of effort, you better bring the effort. You better at least strap it up. And if you're hurt and you can still play, you know, Kobe's going to play. So he's probably going to expect that same from you. And he's going to tell you in your ear in uncertain terms, in no uncertain terms, you better strap on your Chuck Taylors and let's roll because I'm playing.
Yeah. So, listen, before we bounce to get into the NFL and this free agency, I just got to give a quick score because I know some of my Terp fans out there listening. Maryland's up 41-37. Duke is storming back, trying to, you know, down four. And then Syracuse is up 31-24 in Georgetown. So we'll keep you updated on that. And it's kind of interesting to watch.
That's the sentimental one.
He's a great tournament. It is sentimental, man. Maryland alum, 94. But you know what? Let's get into the NFL. Day four, there's been a lot of movement. The Patriots, oh, wow, this just came in. Patriots signed Adrian Wilson, the safety from the Cardinals. Okay, so look, you want to just break down teams and just we'll talk about who's done what, and let's just give like a quick little breakdown for the audience, because I think it's kind of fascinating. A lot of teams are really stepping up and doing some big things. Obviously, the two top teams that are making the most moves are the Chiefs and Dolphins, and we'll see if the Dolphins could get Jake Long. But let's talk about Denver. Denver brings in Welker, veteran receiver. They bring in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, which I kind of like at corner. The offensive lineman, Vasquez from the Chargers, they almost re-signed Dumerville. Then the agent didn't get it into 406, the fax, and they restructured the deal from $12 million to $8 million. Then in 359, they had to cut him so they could sign Welker. Now I'm just hearing from NFL Network, Albert Breer said that basically he's probably going to re-sign with them for a one-year deal if someone else doesn't jump in. So do you like what Denver's done?
Love it. Love it. If I'm a Bronco fan, let's go. Let's go. I'm ready. I mean, don't even waste time. Why put
You're
me to a training
huh?
camp? I'm hyped up. Let's go. I don't know when the date is, when it's like August, whatever, early September. We'll check that out.
Well, how tough is that receiving core now? So maybe Manning's a little upset because he loses Stokely. He's going to be gone. But when you've got Welker, Decker, and Demaryius Thomas,
yeah,
that's
Welker
insane.
Is an upgrade. Even though Brandon Stokely's his boy from back in his Colts days, but Wes Welker is an upgrade. So Manning has toys, and Manning, they have these all these esoteric stats, but he was something like 71% completion in his slot, throwing to the slot. So who's happy is obviously Demaryius Thomas and even Decker are super happy because they'll never get double teamed now. You can't double team anybody on that team. The running game is going to be
that opens up. And
of course.
Whether it's McGahee or my man that came back,
Moreno,
healthy, whether either one of them will do great. And even if they split time.
Who's crying right now is the secondaries of the Raiders, the Chiefs, and the
Chargers.
Are thinking to themselves, oh, my God, we have to play these guys twice and once in Mile High? What are they calling it now? Invesco Field at Mile High?
We're
That's
old school. Rantay old school. It's Mile High, playboy. We ain't even acknowledging your new name. So speaking with the AFC West.
Wait, unless Invesco wants to sponsor our show. And in which case,
we'll give Invesco a lot of
Rantay Today Show.
We'll definitely, brought to you by Invesco. But Kansas City. Okay, so you get Alex Smith. They got the corner Sean Smith from Miami, defensive tackle from the Jets, DeVito. They bring in Anthony Fasano and one or two other players, and then they re-sign their tackle, Albert, and also Dwayne Bowe. So how you like the Chiefs? Pretty good.
I like it. I like it. I think signing Debo and Smith was critical.
Plus, you could have Luke Jokel for the number one pick or Fisher.
Yes,
one of those
exactly. That's what I was about to say. So get that locked down so you can take the left tackle, Jokel if you want, or you just take the best player on the board. But if you don't have a quarterback, it's harder to take the best player on the board because quarterback's the most important position. So I'm not a huge Alex Smith fan, but he's certainly an upgrade to Castle or anybody else they threw out there the last 2-3 years. So Andy Reid said as part of his deal, he said, look, you need to make some wholesale changes, and we need to start upgrading and being real active in free agency, plus the number one pick. So I like what Kansas City's done, for sure.
He did the Beyonce. Sure. Got to upgrade ya.
Upgrade ya.
Wow. So I guess let's just stay in the AFC West for a minute. The Chargers, the only thing they really did, they lost a couple of guys, but they bring in Danny Woodhead. I don't know how much that really does for you. Their running backs, their kid can't ever stay healthy, their running back. So I don't know if
I like Matthews, though, but he, you're right,
yeah,
he can't stay
Matthews,
healthy.
Yeah, and he was injuries, and he's not a great pass catcher.
Fumbled a little bit.
Yeah, fumbled a little bit. He doesn't really do it for me. And the Raiders are trying to decide at their draft pick, do they take Geno Smith? Because I don't know if they're going to keep Carson Palmer, and they don't believe in Terrell Pryor. You know, so the Raiders are trying to, you know, figure that stuff out. Since we're on the West side, looking at the NFC West, the Niners and Seahawks are like the Red Sox and Yankees now. They're making, you do one, I do one better. You do one,
arms
I do
race.
One better. So the Niners, very nice. They get Bolden for a six-round pick. Incredible, right? Defensive end, they get Dorsey, who was a number, you know, first-round pick and a high pick for the Chiefs
top
years ago.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah, and then the Niners, I think they're on the verge of bringing in Nnamdi. So that's not bad. You know,
no,
I mean,
not bad at all. I mean, they did lose Golson, but other than that, it's been a net addition. Now, the Niners also are going to be, for the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to have whatever they pay Kaepernick, right? Maybe they're paying him $600,000 or $1 million.
Yeah.
Probably not even
that's
$1 million.
The deal,
so
right?
They get the benefit of look at the Super Bowl matchup. It was Kaepernick against Flacco. Flacco's making
right.
$20 million and Kaepernick's making $600,000. So they've
and
got
they lose
so
their whole
much
team, the Ravens.
Right. And they got rid of Alex Smith, $8 million, right? So they have so much money to play. That's why having a quarterback like Kaepernick and him being so cheap allows them
on that rookie contract,
2 to 3 years, to just be, you know, unbelievably large and bringing in free agents and trying people out. So
and guess what? For their third receiver, they re-signed. He took less money. Mario Manningham, his deal went in half. He like you know took like 1.8. Just
wow.
to come back to
okay.
play with them. So that's, I mean, to me, that's huge because, I mean, honestly, if Manningham is your third receiver and he can come back healthy, and if that kid they drafted last year, Jenkins, could ever, you know, do something, that's the Niners are ridiculous. They
right.
are
so
ridiculous.
Jumping around a little bit, let's take the Super Bowl matchup and take the other side of that. So, what do you think about what's going on in Baltimore? All of our Ravens fans are beside themselves. They don't know
Ravens
what
Nation.
To do.
Yeah, and they've been shouting us out on Twitter, so shout out to Ravens Nation and stuff. But, well, look, they're trying to really – Ed Reed left Houston today. He did not sign, so maybe he'll come back, you know, and give them a break. They brought in Marcus Spears and Chris Canty. But to lose Kruger, which they expected – but Ellerbe, that was sort of their number one focus. So Ellerbe was a shocker. When the Dolphins swooped in and gave Ellerbe all that money, I think that kind of stunned the Ravens. They lost Kerry Williams. Kerry Williams signed to the Eagles. So Baltimore lost a lot, plus Burke retired, Ray Lewis retired. You kind of really – the Ravens are at the place, to be honest with you, they got to keep Ed Reed. I think he is so key to keeping that locker room. No, he's not – the great safety like he used to be. He's still kind of a ball hawk, though, and still knows, you know, for the speed he's lost, he still knows where to be, you know, all the time and make big plays. But I think emotionally and just how smart he is, he's the quarterback of the defense and definitely the secondary. I think the Ravens, they could be in big trouble if they lose Ed Reed.
Well, it depends on for how much money, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you had a good point about remember, we were talking off air. Brian Billick was saying basically you can bite the bullet now and start rebuilding, or you can slowly decline. You know, we threw it out there on Twitter. What do you think the over-under for Ravens wins is next year? Of course, we don't know what they're going to do in free agency. There's still some time left, and we don't know what they'll do in the draft. But knowing what you know now, what do you put the over-under on for the Ravens next year?
I don't know. I need to see if they re-sign Pitta and Dixon. Those two tight ends are actually free agents, and I think they're going to have to bring them back. If you got to lose one, I would lose Dixon. You got to keep Pitta. He's sort of becoming a star tight end. I think he's really good. And with losing Bolden, just having Jacoby Jones and Torrey Smith, you know, he needs another receiver, or else you give him that big contract, he's got nobody to throw to. But I think the Ravens, I could see them easily being 8-8. I think they're going to drop off quite a bit.
Yeah, that's what we threw out there, 8-8. I think 7-9 wouldn't be surprising either. So I hate to do it to all you Ravens fans out there, Ravens Nation, but I don't see a winning season next season.
Yeah, well, you know who's going to have a winning season? Back in the NFC West, Pete Carroll and them Seattle Seahawks. They trade for Percy Harvin. Some people said, you know, maybe they gave up too much with a first-round pick. Now Minnesota's got 23 and 25. But they also brought in, this was huge, two defensive ends, and they still have their guys. Clemens will come back off the injury, and they got Red Bryant. They bring in Cliff Averill, and they bring in Michael Bennett, who used to play at Tampa Bay. So the Seahawks, to me, that's incredible. Their defense is just going to get better, and they've got a nice rotation because once Clemens comes back, you can rotate pass rushers. So you've got, you know, the Bobby, you know, you got Wagner, you've got Averill, you've got Bennett on the inside rush, you know, Red Bryant, you know, all their big guys. I love the Seattle defense. Bobby Wagner's a beast.
And like you said,
they're tough.
Like you said, it's an arms race between Seattle and San Francisco. It feels like these two are just running away from it. I mean, I feel like these two will have double-digit wins, and then Arizona and St. Louis are going to be terrible. So those two might have, you know, 5-6 wins, and the other two might have 12-13 wins. It's going to be
I don't want to go so bad for the Rams. I mean, they couldn't bring in Jake Long. It looks like he left without a contract and could go back to Miami, so I don't know what happened with that. And the Rams, Steven Jackson goes to Atlanta. So Atlanta's sort of right up there, and we'll talk about them in a minute with the Seahawks and Niners in terms of at least offensively. But the Rams, they lost their two best wide receivers. Amendola goes to the Patriots, and Brandon Gibson just signed today with the Miami Dolphins, which I love, having Hartline, Gibson, who was very good last year, and Mike Wallace.
And your boy, Mike Wallace.
Tannehill, we'll have to call Big Hank. Hank, let Hank know he's got some toys there, especially if Daniel Thomas can do, you know, something at running back. And then the Cardinals.
Well, that's toys on offense. They also did some nice things on defense, right? They picked up LRB, and they picked up the linebacker from the Raiders. So if you're a Dolphin fan, then you must be feeling pretty good right now.
Oh yeah, they got Dustin Keller. They made a bunch of moves. So
right, Keller for Fasano, basically. That was a trade. I mean, not a trade technically,
Fasano,
but they swapped him out.
I like Keller a little bit better than Fasano if he's healthy, though.
When he's healthy, right. But he's another guy who can't stay on the field.
No, you're right. He does have his issues, you know. He's got to figure it out. And then the Cardinals today release Cobb, who Morningwig at the OC of the Jets might want to bring him to the Jets. And I'm just like, ugh, no way. He's a mess. I like David Garrard.
Why? He's not better than what we have, what the Jets have?
No, I don't think Kevin Cobb. I saw him out here in Arizona. He can't stay healthy. One shot to the ribs. He's not a big guy. He's fragile. So, you know, one shot and left the Jets draft Womack, which would be a good first-round pick for them because they need a guard and a right tackle. But unless they draft Womack, that offensive line is supposed to be so good. It's not been so great. I wouldn't want Cobb back there. I'm so honest when I say in my heart, David Garrard is better than Cobb and Sanchez and would be better for the Jets, and he's not turnover prone. Cobb and Sanchez, a mosquito flies by them and the ball just drops out of their hands. They are so turnover prone, both of those guys. So it's rumored that the Jets are going to sign him because Morningwood likes him. I think it's a huge mistake. And why would you have three sort of, you know, okay quarterbacks? I mean, I know they're one of the competition.
Because there's no good ones out there to have. I mean, look, I hear what you're saying.
Scrap all that mess and draft Geno Smith and build the kid up. I guess you're going to, you know, probably go offensive line or defense, a pass rusher in the first round when the Jets pick. But to me, I'm just like, please, you know, come on, give me a break. And then the Jets signed Mike Goodson at running back. Like, who cares? They gave him like a big deal. I'm like, well, Mike Goodson is like a third string running back. I mean, you know, you lose Sean Green to the Titans, but I mean, really? Is that impressive? But wait, let me just say back to the Cardinals, because out here Cardinals fans are going crazy. So they brought in a defensive tackle, or I think it's Matt Shaughnessy from the Raiders, and I think did they sign Case on? I think they, but they also brought in Mendenhall from my Steelers.
Yeah, on a cheap deal too. I wonder why
1 year.
Mendenhall took so little.
Well,
I mean,
I think it is, to be honest? I think what he's saying is, like, look, I want to be ready for next year's free agency class. Maybe a little bit more money and a little bit less competition. No more, you know, no Steven Jackson, no Bradshaw, not as many free agents. Let me try it again. If you notice, a lot of guys are starting to do, here we are day four, tomorrow's day five, you're starting to see one-year deals pop up, you know. I think it's huge, though, right? So we leave the West, and let's go to the AFC East. I think it's huge. We talked about what the Dolphins did, and I like their, you know, offensive, you know, revamp with Keller, Wallace, and Gibson. But I think it's huge that the Patriots just signed the safety Adrian Wilson from the Cardinals. Yes, he is a veteran, but he will do wonders with the Patriots and Belichick. And they re-signed Kyle Arrington. They'll probably read up with Talib. Talib. And then they brought in Leon Washington for special teams since they lost Welker. And they signed wide receiver Donald Jones, who was from the Bills. I like that.
At the end of the day, the Patriots are arrogant, but they know what they're doing, right? So that's the worst kind of arrogance, right? You want people to just be arrogant and have bravado for no reason, and then you're like, okay, we can knock them off. But these guys are arrogant, and yet they know what they're doing. And other than Wes Welker, which is kind of weird because you figure Denver gave him the same money. And only 2 years, and he signed 2 years, $12 million. So I'm thinking, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me Danny Amendola is better than that? No way, especially because Danny, talk about another guy who can't stay on the field. You know what they need to do in the combine?
Not better than Welker.
He's not better than Welker when he's healthy, and he's not healthy very often.
He's four years younger, but he can't stay on the field.
Wes Welker,
they made a mistake.
Ageless.
I think they just straight up the Patriots made a
mistake. And that was arrogance, and that's that same arrogance where they started Julian Edelman in week one, remember? And everybody that had Wes Welker on their fantasy team was saying, what's going on here? But Wes still proceeded to have yet another 100 catch season. He's unbelievable. So they were a little bit arrogant with that, but they are a machine, especially when it comes to signing people for 1 or 2 years. You see, they're not signing anybody for 7 years, $49 million, right? They're signing people for 1 year, 2 years, and they're like, look, we can
and they had a lot of
fit
cap
you
space.
Into
they're
our
smart.
System.
Do you know, I think they were top three in cap space available. It was like Bengals, Jaguars, Browns, I think maybe the Dolphins and the Patriots. They were like in the top five, I think. That's
arrogant,
crazy.
But know what they're doing, you know?
Well, Brady gave him a break when he restructured. So that really helped.
$27 million out. Yeah, absolutely. And he thought that he'd get Wes Welker in return for doing that. So I'm sure he's a little frustrated, too, because he's saying, look, maybe Amendola's the man, maybe not, but I know what I know, and I know that Wes Welker's the man.
Yeah. Well, listen, Gronk and Hernandez can't stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, those two can't stay healthy. And then if they, you know, they thought that Josh McDaniels would bring back the old Brandon Lloyd, but if they don't have Lloyd, you know, then they have some issues. If Danny Amendola is your number one receiver on the outside
they're rumored to not keep Lloyd. I'd keep Lloyd, wouldn't you?
Of course. I don't know who's out there for them, but Lloyd and McDaniels had their best seasons together in Denver. And you thought that he would bring the best out of them back in New England, and I still think he can. And by the way, again, if Danny Amendola is your number one or number two option, I'm not sure you're doing that well. I mean, Danny Amendola's a nice player, but he's not, you know, matriculating the ball up the field like Tom Brady usually does with his receivers. They're not setting records.
He had some good games, though, with Sam Bradford. Remember, he had two games this year. One was 12 receptions, and another was 10, where he was like getting like 150 to 180, like almost 200 yards. So he has some skill.
No, I'm not saying he's a chump. I'm just saying that it's a drop off between Wes Welker and Danny Amendola.
You're saying champs and chumps, like our segment. It was so good on Mondays, you know. So listen, let's talk about the Detroit Lions, because I think quietly they made some nice moves. Number one, they brought back their defensive back, Lewis Detmers, and then they got the kid Quinn from the Texans. But then they bring in Reggie Bush.
Perfect. So there's my question. So stop right there. Stop
Perfect
right there. There's my question.
Woo!
Well, is he? Because, look,
yes,
they had
Don't compare
the kid
him.
From – Well,
Javid
I'm just
Best
saying.
Is nobody.
They had Javid Best, right? And they had Michael LeSueur. Or they had both of them in the backcourt, and they had Kevin Smith.
Right.
And
but LeSueur will still
them,
be there. He's still on a rookie deal.
But none
deal,
of those guys
LeSueur
was good
Bush
enough.
Will be nice.
Okay. So you
I
see
like
Reggie
it.
Bush. What do you see him? What do you see him being? A third down back? You see him being?
No. I think Reggie Bush will get like 15 carries a game. Maybe 12, LeSueur get his 12. I think they're going to run it more than they have been doing because they realize that they can't just kill Matthew Stafford with just passing all day and every day 50 times a game. He's throwing anywhere between 40 and 50 passes a game. You can't do that. I mean, it's just it's ridiculous. And also, oh, by the way, that one of their best linemen, Jeff Backus, retires.
Backus.
And then
yeah,
on the defensive side, they got to replace Cliff Avril. So
I would rather have seen them get Steven Jackson, frankly.
Okay.
But,
No. I would have loved Steven Jackson for them too. But hey, he went down to the ATL. What do you think about Atlanta?
All right.
Gonzalez
well, let's talk
coming
about
back.
The dirties. They're still camped
they are
out
the dirties.
Outside of Tony Gonzalez's house. I got a feeling Tony's coming back, right? If
no,
you
no,
catch
he's fine. 2 years. 2 years, $14 million.
Oh, he did.
He's
I didn't
back.
See that. Okay.
Yeah, he's
okay,
back.
Good. Yeah, he was coming back. I had a feeling.
And they re-signed
offensive
lineman Baker, William Moore, the safety, and Steven Jackson. Now they lose Dante Robinson, who another guy we forgot who went to KC. Dante Robinson, a corner,
right?
Who they just signed a couple years ago, and then they also lose John Abraham. And I don't know if they're planning to replace him with OC or Freeney. But I think they got to do something, right, for a pass rush, even if you bring in James Harrison. Somebody for a year, right? So you can try to go ahead and get a Super Bowl.
Yeah, the problem for the Falcons is expectations, right? This team, just like we said, I think the teams in the NFC West are going to have a hard time. The two bottom teams, right? So St. Louis and Arizona are going to have a hard time winning more than 5-6 games. The flip side of that is the Atlanta Falcons, and they probably will win 11, 12, 13 games. The problem is that even with home field advantage in the playoffs, I mean, that's a team that's got to have their eye on the Super Bowl. So are they better than the Niners? Are they better than the Seahawks next year, who got much better? Are they better than the Green Bay Packers?
I don't know about defensively,
are they better than,
but offensively? Offensively, I think
can they
no
beat them? I guess
them.
Is the question. Can they beat them?
Yeah. I think if they can get a pass rusher, they can, because that offense is just ridiculous. I really think right now, Steven Jackson is so versatile. Let Jacquez get his 5 carries and a couple little screens, but Steven Jackson's going to get 18 to 22 carries. They can run it a little bit more. He'll get a couple. Even let's say if he runs at 17 and gets 3 screen passes, when you've got Steven Jackson, then you've got Tony Gonzalez. The safeties can't cheat over. He works the middle of the field. The corners are going to get eaten alive by Roddy White and Julio Jones. Eaten alive.
Well, they had a great offense last year. I'm just worried about them defensively. I think that's the problem. And Mike Smith's a defensive coach, so hopefully he'll be able to reemphasize defense. I mean, offense I'm not worried about. They are at least as good as last year, if not better. It's just what have they done on defense, especially losing a safety, losing a corner, losing a defensive end.
You're totally right. I think they're going to have to replace Abraham, and I think they should get two guys. They didn't have enough pass rush with Abraham. So even if you go get me OC and then you go get me Harrison or you get me OC and Freeney, I need two different guys to come in there and try to push it, to really try to get things going, So we'll see. How about, let me ask you this, right? Two other interesting teams, we're talking NFC. How about an NFC East? I mean, the Giants haven't really done much. They just got the Steelers safety, Rick Monday. They lost Kenny Phillips too. The Philadelphia Eagles, they've made some nice moves. They got Phillips from the Giants, cornerback Kerry Williams from the Ravens, ripping off their championship flavor, right? And the Eagles have their whole new system and bring in the, you know, Dennis Dixon, the backup quarterback, and re-signed Vic, new coach.
The Chip Kelly
regime. Bring in, they also bring in Connor Barwin, the linebacker from the Texans. So what do you think, you know, what the Eagles are doing? They're making some moves.
Well, look, they are definitely making moves. And I think the Eagles are a one big fat question mark, especially on offense, right? Because Chip Kelly has tools, and they solidified the defense, which was a little bit of a problem last year. Remember, they had the offensive coordinator become the defensive coordinator, then he got fired, and then they had the, you know, linebackers coach become the defensive coordinator. So hopefully the D is more in line with you know, where the Eagles D have been traditionally. The question becomes this offense, and I don't know until training camp. That's a training camp I want to go to, is the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to see what they do on offense with all of that talent and what they end up doing with Michael Vick, and if he's able to pick up this system and get the most. And maybe Dennis Dixon is like a little mentor to Michael Vick, right? I don't know that he'll take his job, but, you know, he can teach him the ropes in terms of the system and how to run it and be a pretty viable backup. I mean, you had him in Pittsburgh. So
yeah.
I want to see.
I think it was smart
offensive.
Bringing in Dixon, actually. Very smart.
No,
move.
I think it was great. So I really like what they did on defense, and offense is a big TBD.
Do you like Tampa Bay getting Golson?
Sure. I mean, anytime you can get
that's
a safety
huge.
That's a multi-time Pro Bowler, and then like we said off air, he might be able to convince Rondé Barber to stay for one more year, and
they got
a decent thing going down there in Tampa.
What do you think if they trade for Revis? That makes their secondary insane.
Yeah. Again, I don't love guys coming off ACL, but you know what? This is the time to take a chance on a Revis, right? Because if Revis has a year like he had 2 years ago, he's going to want.
And then
he said he wanted to be the highest paid, you know, defensive player in the game. So he wanted almost quarterback money. So if you can get him on the cheap and basically make him earn it for the next couple years, and then decide whether or not to keep him, that's
right.
Interesting, because coming off your ACL, that's probably the only chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're so right about that, because get him now before he comes back and has a great season, right? Because then you're not going to be able to afford him. So you could pay
right.
him good money now. It's not ridiculous money, because you're like, well, Revis, we don't know if you're going to be healthy, yada, yada. Let's just do a 3-year deal. Maybe we'll revisit it. But if you wait and he goes to the market, just get nothing, right? And then his contract, whoever's going to do it, there's always one sucker out there, right? One player. Oh, by the
all
way,
you need is one.
By the way, they changed the tuck rule. You know, the Raiders. Did you see the Raiders tweeted out like, "Oh, it's only been 11 years, 39 days, and
right.
this and that." That's funny. So
Rod Woods, that may have been. I wonder if that changes history, right? Because that was the first of the
Patriots
winning
Super Bowl,
three out of four. Yes, their first Super Bowl. So that means
it changes history totally.
The St. Louis Rams probably would have won, because they were a 14-point favorite over the Falcons. I mean, over the Patriots. They probably would have been maybe.
You think they would have beat the Raiders?
They would have. They probably would have been. It was on. Remember, it was indoors on turf. They would have been a seven-point favorite. Maybe 7-8-point favorite over that Raider team. They were a 14-point favorite over the Patriots. That was the greatest show on turf. That Rams team was no joke.
No, definitely. So, you know, listen, we'll give you more. Obviously, Monday will be even more college basketball because we have the brackets, but we'll touch on some more free agent moves. We got to say, you know, Greg Jennings to Minnesota, I think, you know, that's pretty nice. They're still going to need to get another receiver, because they not only did they lose Percy Harvin, they lost Michael Jenkins. So I think they're going to need a little bit more to help up. And they signed Matt Castle as a backup quarterback, which I'm not that impressed with. But, you know, let's do
all
it, man.
Right,
let's
talk transition.
About the madness. So, quick update. Maryland is up 59-52, 7 minutes to go in the ACC semis over Duke, Yo Terps, and then Syracuse. number 19 over number 5, Georgetown right now, 47-42, and that is 6 minutes to go. It's heating up, Ray. So far, what's been the biggest thing in these tournament games that you think will change seeding or shocking, surprising to you? Give me like your first, before the big conferences, ACC, Pac-12, and before they have their championship games that will all be, you know, Saturday and Sunday. What stands out so far?
So what stands out so far, even though it's not shocking, right, because Michigan was fifth in their conference, and they were sixth in the country. And your boy, you know, Bergeron and Brusewitz and Jackson, they lost to Wisconsin, and they lost, you know, pretty convincingly, 68-59. So Michigan, who a week ago could arguably have been playing for a number one seed, may have dropped to a number three seed, depending on how Kansas does in their Big 12.
Yeah, I still think they'll get a number two.
It depends. If it's a Louisville-Georgetown final in the Big East and Kansas wins out and Michigan State, you know, goes to its final, there may not be any room on that two line. So let's work it out.
So let's just say the number ones are Indiana, Duke, Gonzaga, and let's just say Louisville.
Yeah.
And let's say the number two line, you have Georgetown, Kansas, and then who are the other two?
So you'd have Georgetown, Kansas, you'd have Michigan State potentially, and maybe like a Miami or Florida, depending on how well they do.
Miami, because Florida has dropped down pretty low.
No, Miami.
Yeah, oh, Miami, okay.
So or Florida, right? But if Florida runs the table, wins the SEC.
I don't know if they move up to a two seed, because they were 13. That means they're leaping mad teams. To go from 13 to 8?
Yeah, but they would have just won 3 games in their conference tournament. The problem is they're not really playing anybody that great.
Yeah,
so you're probably right. So maybe Miami.
Yeah,
Miami goes to
Miami,
the conference finals.
Miami's going to probably play Maryland, Duke, you know.
Miami, Michigan State, Kansas, and the loser of the Big East, the last of the Big East championship.
Well, that's probably
those
gonna be
four
Georgetown,
teams.
Since Georgetown's losing to Syracuse, unless they come back and win. I think Louisville will get that number one seed.
That actually works well. That actually works well for Michigan potentially if Georgetown goes down as well.
Well, that gives them a shot, but I don't think Georgetown will drop to a three. I think they'll stay in number two line. Michigan's a deadly number three.
Ooh,
I know. Can you imagine Michigan and Georgetown in the same region?
It's a team potentially with player of the year, Trey Burke, and they might be a three seed? Wow, that's crazy.
Hey, how about this kid from Boston College? Let's shout out Olivier Hanlon.
Oh, my God.
Freshman
41.
Record, he broke Harrison Barnes. He scored 41. That was
a huge
game.
But you know what was great about that? You know what was great about that? And this is for all you young kids out there, you listeners. They won by 20, so you always want to win by 20. But they were down like 16 in the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game. So instead of being down and out and depressed, they just came back and started fighting back. And so think about that. It's a 36-point swing. They were down huge and ended up winning huge. And this kid sets the ACC record. How many freshmen, unbelievable freshmen, have played in the ACC? And this kid is the best of them all, or had the best tournament game of them all, 41 points. That's pretty special.
And you know what's huge? My Terps look like they're going to make it to the freaking tournament, baby. 63-52 on Duke. Yo,
oh,
Terps!
My goodness. So what does this mean? Let's say this happens. So what does this mean for Duke? Do they keep the number one? Do they become the fourth number one?
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess it depends, right? Gonzaga, you know what? This might mean that, look, Gonzaga and Indiana are definitely, I think they can, either of them can lose. I mean, Gonzaga's done, right? But Indiana can lose and they'll still be a number one. Duke is probably a number one. And then Louisville probably just needs now to get to the Big East semis and be a number one. because if Georgetown loses and Michigan
in the semis. They rematch against Notre Dame tonight.
They can lose in the semis and be a number one. So, yeah, I guess Duke falls from probably the number two overall seed to maybe three. So not a big deal for Duke, I suppose. But isn't this funny that we said, remember, except for Gonzaga, we said the number one seeds are going to have five losses. And if Duke, in fact, loses, they're going to have five losses at least. And so, I mean, they're going to have five losses, of course. Indiana's going to have five or more. Louisville's going to have five or more. So you're going to have all of the number one seeds with five or six losses. That's pretty amazing.
It's great. And we got to shout out our boy, Seth Davis, because, yo, my Terps are taking out your Duke Blue Devils, baby.
Luckily for Duke, this doesn't cost them that much. But still, you want
to... It means so much
to
Maryland, though.
Some momentum. It would be, yeah. And it would mean so much to Tay.
Man. So, let's talk about the referees. I think... In the A-10, that was a shame. I mean, Richmond was up. They wind up losing. This guy, Charlotte, the free throw line, I don't know if he flopped. Yeah, he might have bumped them and stuff. You can't call a technical and then give him more free throws. They basically shot 11 free throws, and the refs took the game. They took the game away from Richmond. And then Charlotte goes and loses to St. Louis today.
But what do you do about that? Because the rule book states that if you are sort of hand fighting under the basket, it's a dead ball foul, and you're supposed to shoot the two free throws. So argument number one is, do you think they should have called the foul when the two guys
were
battling?
That's what I'm saying.
You would have let it go.
Not, oh, Georgetown down two, 47-45. No, I wouldn't have called a foul. You got to let it go. They're banging. They're banging for positioning.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that affects the shooter. I don't think that affects, you know, a defensive position. Yeah, it probably was technically the right call, but it just changes the outcome of the game.
Then they called the tech on the coach. I mean, they wind up, like, you know, shooting crazy free throws, and there's, like, no time left. They were down three, and what'd they win, like, by five or eight or five?
The guy shot, 11 free throws, something like that?
Yeah. That,
Duke is losing by 11.
Yeah.
With 5 minutes to go. Maryland is up 11.
This is what I was telling people. If Wells, Lem, and Faust get going, and then this other kid, Allen, off the bench – the Terps, they got some. We can make some noise in the tournament. You see the defense we're playing? We already locked Lem. Already locked Plumlee. Held him to 4 points last time they played. I don't know what Plumlee has tonight, but yo, Alex Lem. The more the big Ukraine steps up, man, in the tournament, he could be dangerous. Wells, the transfer.
What about your Wisconsin team? What about your boy Brust again? You know, he's the one that hit the half court shot against
Jimmy
Michigan.
Jimmy Jackson's kid.
Yeah.
No. But how about Jimmy Jackson's kid? 13 points, played great defense. Brusewicz with a key rebound. They're solid. You know what? Wisconsin is a team. Honestly, Ray, I think they're going to be dangerous in a tournament. I actually think, I tweeted out earlier, I think Wisconsin moves up to a 4 seed. I think they're in the top 16 in the nation now. I think they move up to a 4 seed. You know,
well, certainly if they win another game.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. UVA, they lost. They had a bad loss. By the way, NC State, ladies and gentlemen, is back. Syracuse is back. Two teams you better watch out for in a tournament that didn't have the greatest seasons, NC State and Syracuse. You talk about two teams that can win it all and have the talent. And let's shout out Scott Wood, who breaks Roddy Monroe's all-time three-point record at NC State. Scott Wood can shoot it. C.J. Leslie, Rodney Pervious, Howell, NC State.
Howell,
yeah.
They always had the talent. That's why they were preseason favorite to win the ACC.
Exactly.
And that's why,
no, you're right.
So what are they doing down there? They're underachieving.
They're drinking some good water now. It's not what they did. It's what they're doing. You said it. They're not underachieving now. They're playing ball right now. Sort of like Syracuse, Georgetown, 49-47 with 3 minutes, under 3 minutes to go. So let me ask you this. Kentucky, does Kentucky make the tournament? Right now, Kentucky
they're
is
losing to Vandy, yeah.
50-37.
They had that huge win against Florida.
This. Yeah, I think they needed this one, though.
Maybe put them in.
Yeah, maybe they're still in.
Oh, God.
I don't know, Ray. That's
so
see,
on
that,
the
those
bubble.
Those are the kind of questions, right? These bubble teams. Some people say Middle Tennessee State is in. Some people say UVA. Some people say UVA's out now. I mean, Kentucky, are they in because they beat Florida, or are they out? Does Iowa make it in the Big Ten? Does Minnesota? Minnesota loses. Paul hits the shot at the end. Brandon Paul, big shot for Illinois. I think Illinois is in, but now people are saying, oh, should Minnesota? I think Minnesota's in, but people are questioning.
You know what they should do? You know what they should do? They should get all these teams, like the 10 teams that think they have a chance for that those last four spots, 64 to 68, and just have a shooting contest. Be like, yo, top of the key. Who's got it? You know? best
oh, by
three,
the way,
you know.
Yeah, VCU
what?
Up on, late. Oh, they just beat St. Joe's. VCU goes and survives 82-79. That's great.
Shaka Smart.
So as we head to the stretch, listen, Monday, Ray and I are working on a surprise guest for next week. We're not going to say nothing. Hopefully we get it, a big college basketball guest, somebody familiar to Ray and Tay on the show. It would be a great grab. But we will be talking Monday, and we're back on Wednesdays for the next 2 weeks talking college hoops, the madness. Wednesday, we'll give you our official picks. We'll give you our final fours, and Monday we'll just break down the bracket and everything, and Wednesday we'll give you our picks. We'll probably have a bracket on, maybe we'll have one on rayandtaytoday.com. If not, we'll have one. You can join with us on ESPN. Either way, Ray and Tay will have, you know, a sheet that you could, you know, compete with us and compete against us and have fun with Ray and Tay. So either way, we'll have you covered.
Either way, it's on.
Like
it's March Madness.
Ball.
Like Donkey Kong. What is that?
Begin.
17 days of
so let me
college
ask you this.
Basketball.
Louisville just smacked up Notre Dame in their crazy uniforms last week in the revenge from their overtime, triple overtime loss or whatever. Who wins tonight in the second Big East semifinal? And Georgetown ties it up, 49-49. Wow.
Oof, this game is going to
– Louisville.
It's not going to end before
Notre
we
Dame?
Go off the air. Yeah,
oh,
I
yeah.
think Louisville's got too much. I like Louisville. Louisville might run the table and go take the whole Big East. I don't know that they'll do the Kemba Walker and win 11 in a row, but they'll certainly be a tough out. And now that Russ Smith has got, you know, his head right again, Smith and Siva, they're up, they're down, and they also have all the talent like Bohannon and Gorgui
yeah.
Yang and so on. But Smith and Siva, as erratic as they are, they're still upperclassmen in the backcourt. You don't get that. Upperclassmen in the backcourt in Patino's system. That's tough.
That's magic.
That's tough. That's gonna provide a lot of problems, and especially for teams outside of the Big East, right? The Big East teams have seen them. But in the tournament, that's gonna be tough. So look for Louisville potentially to do some big damage in the tournament.
Hey, Butler won. So shout out to them. You know, this A-10 tournament is crazy. Syracuse just goes up 51-49, a minute 20 left as we're winding down on our show. We got 2 minutes. So, you know, it's exciting. I can't wait to Monday's show. Man. So, listen, everybody have a good weekend. Watch the college games. Obviously,
yeah, selection
check out the NFL.
Sunday.
Yeah, the NFL moves.
Get your pen and paper
Sunday.
Ready.
Yep. Follow us on Twitter. We'll be giving you some updates and stuff, and of really what's going on in all sports. And NBA, some good games this weekend. Celtics are playing. You got the Clippers, Knicks. Hopefully the Knicks can bounce back. And let's see if the Heat continue their streak, man. You know.
So we got a lot to talk about next week, but we'll give you a preview now. It'll be very college basketball heavy because March
yeah,
Madness
Monday,
is on.
Yeah, yeah.
But remember, don't forget, that they're going to come back from the WBC and they're going to start spring training really in earnest because we're 2 weeks away, 2.5 weeks away from the start of baseball season. So we got a lot. we got a lot in the works for you. We might have some guests for you, some ex-players, maybe some ex-coaches in baseball. We're working to bring you some sports love here on Ray and Tay today. So thanks for joining us. We had a great time with you. Tune back in regular time on Monday. So that's 6 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
And,
Ray and Tay, talking sports with friends.
I move the crowd. I got it made and I'm black and I'm proud. I walk like